Amen. You know, it was once said to me when I was younger and learning how to lead people, it said that, you know, true leadership is measured when a leader is absent. What do the people do that followed after that leader? Let it be known that God is still moving, amen, across the seas, because Pastor Dosik must have been a good leader. The sons of the faith are carrying on, and we're not going to stop just because, amen? We're going to keep going, because until the Lord returns, it is the Great Commission, and God is still moving and still opening doors and still healing and saving and doing miracle signs and wonders. And it's not just a one man that gets to do it. That same power is in all of you and I, and we are to go and demonstrate the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What a beautiful Sunday. Before I get started, only believe, I want to remind you that you are more than conquerors. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. The enemy and the wickedness of darkness is afraid of you. And when you speak the name of Jesus, everything has to leave. Amen. Know that the power that you as a believer possess. Don't be fearful of what's happening around you. You have authority over the darkness that surrounds us. Amen. Don't live in fear. Simply step up to the plate and say, go in Jesus' name. And it runs. Amen. Know your power and the authority that you possess. Announcement before I get started. I want to remind you that the early church in Acts 2:42 through 46, it talks about four things they were devoted to. One, doctrine, which is what we're doing right now. We're sharing doctrine. Two, fellowship of the believers. Guess what? Show up early, drink some coffee, love one another, talk to one another. We're called to it. We need one another. Number three, they were given to communion. That's what we did today together. Why? It brings us together. It makes sure that we're remembering what our lives are about. And Christ has not taken communion until we meet him. And when we meet him, he'll take it again with you and I, the true body of believers. And four, they gave themselves to prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. This is why we as a church pray first, not last. It's not something we do after we think about our problem. It's what we do first. So I encourage all of you, get up in the morning, pray first. First Saturday of every month, 8 o'clock, pray first with your church. That's what we do right here, 8 o'clock in the morning. I know it's early. I agree, but we'll make it through. All right, so we have been in a series on the kingdom of God. What it means to be a part of it. But today, specifically, we're going to be talking about the kingdom of God and what it means to be an ambassador of it. And in Philippians 3:20, it simply says, I'm going to just paraphrase it to you. It might not be word for word, but I just wrote it down out of my heart. It says that, but we, this means the children of God, are citizens of heaven. Someone say citizens. Citizens. I know you were taught you are a citizen of the United States, and you are because you were born here. But when you became born again, your citizenship to heaven took a first place. And so our citizenship to America becomes second place, in case no one's reminded you of that. Just want to tell you. And we are eagerly awaiting for him to return as our Savior. This him is Jesus. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own. Ladies, I'm not even going to express what that looks like because I don't know, but it's going to be amazing. Just telling you in advance. Like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. And as citizens, I just can't, as a citizen, I'm eagerly awaiting King Jesus. My King is coming back. My King is coming to this earth to get me and take me out. Why? Because I got some business to do up there first, and then I'm coming back. And when I come back, he says, we're going to rule and reign in a new heaven and a new earth. But right now, there's some business that's got to be taken care of on earth. So let me just say it like this, in case you don't know. My name is Pastor Nicole. I was born into a fallen world, known as the kingdom of this world, where sin and death ruled. I was rescued at the age of 5. According to Colossians 1:13, I was taken out of the kingdom of this world, and I was brought into the kingdom of God. I was brought into the kingdom of his Son. How? By faith. When I believed and confessed him as Lord of my life, that he was resurrected from the grave on the 3rd day, I am now redeemed. I'm forgiven. And I'm now a citizen of heaven. In him I live, I move, and I have my being. And my whole heart is given to Jesus. That's where my allegiance lies. All hail King Jesus. Amen. That's my life in a nutshell. Each one of you have a story that's very similar to mine. And if you're not, and you don't have that story, that's all right. At the end of the service, you can write your own when I ask you to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. Just hang on till the end of the service. 1 Peter, let's turn there as a church. We're going to go to 1 Peter 1, and we've got some scriptures, so I need you to kind of, Johnny, hurry up on the spot and get there. I know. Okay, it says, "All praise to God, Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay." That means you don't get old and you're not going to die. "And though your faith, and through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation." Now wait, I thought I got saved when I was born again. Well, you did. Remember, the kingdom has come. Let everybody get a card next to you on your pew. You sit down on them today. Look what it says. It says, "Are we there yet?" Well, if I'm already saved, then yes. But if I'm waiting for this salvation, then I'm not. See, you're partially there because the kingdom has come. And the kingdom is inside of you and I. But it's not in its fullness yet. Right. Are we there yet? Nope. But yes. It's this Chinese finger. You stick, yes, we're there, but no, we're not. Now try to pull them out and you can't. Why? Because it's tension that's locked in the scripture. Why? Because that's faith. You must have faith to believe that the kingdom has come in its fullness in order to get to the fullness of our faith. Did you get that? God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation that doesn't change, doesn't decay, and your inheritance, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. What's that last day? That last day is his return. Because when he returns, you and I's salvation is complete. Everything we've been waiting for, everything we've been yearning for, every bit of faith that we had that there was a Savior is proven right then and there. And we're taken out, and we know that it's true. So be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead. In other words, don't you see it coming? Can't you see that this is not finished yet? And that all this suffering, all these tears, all these hardships will be done away with once and for all if we can just use our faith to get through this life. Even though you have to endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show you that faith is genuine. It's being tested by fire, as fire tests and purifies gold. though your faith is far more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Do you realize that you and I, right now, even as we speak, there's an expectation that doesn't take on change and decay, and there's this wonderful joy. And when it says, "Are we there yet?" you have to identify that there's more to come. Is there healing today? Yes. Yes. But it's greater when we're there with Him, because there is no more sickness. There's no more to fight. There's no more pressure. There's no more trials. And that is the joy that we have when we look as citizens of heaven and not citizens of this earth. Remember, we learned, well, I learned more than ever when my father passed away, that I don't mourn like the world. I mourn knowing that my father is not dead, but he has arrived, and now he's living his life better than he could have ever lived it. And you and I, one too, in this earthly body, it's decaying as we speak. Just look in the mirror. It's for real. Now, if you don't look with your bifocals, it looks a little bit better. If you get real close and it's all real fuzzy and you look like you have a filter on, it's great. Don't use those LED lights, though. Those are of the devil. I'm telling you. You ever been to that through the hotels? You get into the hotel and turn this light on, you're like, oh my gosh, what happened? It's these new lights. Do away with them. They're not even good. Go to fluorescence. They lie. They lie. It's okay. Pastor Randy expounded last week on the culture of this kingdom. And he started by talking with the Sermon of the Mount. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think that we as citizens of heaven could read the Sermon of the Mount every single day that we put our feet on the ground to remember the way we are supposed to live in this life. You know, they're called the Beatitudes. Be of this attitude. Behave this way. And if you don't behave that way, then you can't expect to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that what it said? It said, if we do these things, blessed are they, they shall inherit the kingdom of God. When you and I don't have the attitude of the Sermon on the Mount, the ultimate payment for that is that we don't inherit the kingdom of God. Mind you, this is what it said in the scripture, that some will even cast out devils in my name. But I will look at them and say, I don't know you. Why? Your behavior. Your beatitudes. See, we're being judged on how we are going to steward this body, how we're going to steward our tongue, how we're going to steward our love, how we're going to steward our life. And when we don't steward it according to the behavior that the scripture has written out for us very plainly, and I'm going to be honest with you, I don't like some of them any more than you do. No, I'm serious. Why? Because my flesh has been taught by living in this world that there's a certain way I can act in this world. But the scripture tells me that I can only conduct myself in the way He would have me conduct myself. Even when people are doing wrong by me, even when people are spilling ill things that are not true about me, even when things that I think are unjust in this world should be fixed, I am still not allowed to behave outside of the conduct that He's written in Scripture. Amen. Now let's go to 1 Peter, the second chapter, 11 through 17. And here's what it says. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners, that means just passing through, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very soul. Didn't say wage war across your mind. Didn't say you're going to get in fight with peoples. It said it wages war against your soul, meaning that if you get caught up in this war, you could very well lose your soul to the kingdom of darkness. Don't wage war in this area. That's what he literally just told us. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Whew. This even if they accuse you of doing wrong. They will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. Now I'm going to just read over these next scriptures really quick because they might hurt some of us. For the Lord's sake, respect or submit to all human authority, whether as kings of head, as head of state, or the officials he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. This is according to their king. This is not our King Jesus that appointed them, okay? It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people. I'm not going to comment. Who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So do not use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone. Someone say everyone. 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 And love your Christian brothers. And we know it's not just talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. Because he says, and your Christian brothers and sisters. Fear God and respect the king. Now I'm going to be honest with you. That seems to be a little bit harder said than done. But we're not here to be caught up into the culture. We're here to influence the culture. We're here by the way we act and behave and conduct ourselves. We are to bring glory to God. Not that it's fair. Not that they deserve it. But because God asked us to. There's a lot of things that I think are unfair. There's a lot of bad things that I would like to really stick a stake in and be done with for the rest of my life. But I can't expect the world that I live in to be Christ-like. He called the people passing through this world to be Christ-like. In no way, shape, or form did he tell you that all of the entire world would be saved. He told you and I to go into all the world. Is that not what we're supposed to do? But somehow we get it twisted. See, we, you and I, are called to be ambassadors. You've ever seen them? They always, they show up in this really nice, usually blue, black, or pinstriped blue suit. Just pay attention to it. It's all over the news. With a red, blue, or something patriotic tie. And then they have this sash that goes across them and it says, Ambassador of the United States of America. What does that mean? Well, let's look at what Christ means when he uses the word ambassador, because it means that we represent the government we came from. When they show up to whatever country you choose, I don't know, we'll choose, everyone I use is like got a problem going on. I don't want to use that. I want to use something good. Let's see. Where do we land? Amsterdam. And we'll use that. Just why? Because on your way to Africa, you often stop in Amsterdam. But as of right now, I don't think the U.S. is giving them any money, so we don't have to fight about that. We don't have to. Okay? I'm being real with you. I don't want to get into that. The point is, when our American ambassador shows up, it means that I am coming in lieu of and the representation of the King of America, which I'm just going to be honest with you, right now is President Biden. No matter what you think, no matter what you think he's telling him what to do or what a corner he lives in, I don't care. The point is, in representation of President Biden, a representative goes. And what do? They represent our nation, our values, what we do, what we like, what we don't like. In fact, they even feed them according to what we like to eat. Why? Because they're bringing us in as guests. Do you know that the way we represent Christ, and when we don't behave like him, if you read the rest of the Beatitudes down to the bottom, the very next section is called salt and light. salt and light. If we don't behave according to the conduct that Christ has given us and written in the scriptures, then the salt that was meant to preserve, did you hear me? How many of you have ever canned? When you put those tomatoes in, you put them in that little thingamajig and you put a quarter tablespoon of salt, depending on how much you like, but usually it's salt, and you put it in that canning jar, because if you don't, I'm telling you, the chances of it being preserved for as long as you want are not as highly likely. Salt is a natural preservative. So what it's saying is, when you live according to these attributes, when you act like I've told you to act, you become the salt of the earth and you preserve it until I come. But what good is the salt if it loses its savor? Well, how do you and I lose our savor? Oh, I'll tell you. Just be of the wrong attitude. Salt tastes good on food. And if you don't believe that, then ask 70% of America that are all on some type of statin, which lowers their blood pressure because we're all eating it at high quantities. Chinese food, Hong Kong buffet. Just saying, not a good place for you because of all the salt. My point being is, we love salt because it tastes good. Christ is saying to us that if you don't behave this way, you won't taste good to the world. You will look bad and you'll cause me to look bad. As an ambassador, I need you to represent me in the right way. And if you don't, everyone looks at you and goes, "Oh, that left a bad taste in my mouth. Did you see them loving Jesus? Oh, yeah, it was terrible. They were meaner than a crooked snake." And then you represent Jesus in the wrong manner. Who wants to be a part of a kingdom of God like that? So we're called to be ambassadors that act in a certain way. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And let's see what it says here. Thought I had it marked. There we go. And we're going to do 5:11, and then we're going to go down a little bit further to 18 through 21, just for the time's sake. It says, "Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others." We work hard. And it's not because we're fear, like, "Oh, I'm afraid of this big, mean, mighty God." No, we're fearful of displeasing him. We're fearful of falling short of what he's requested for us to do. We never want to do that. So let's go down to 18. It says, "And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ." Remember, in the garden, we walked with God. Then Adam and Eve sinned, so no longer were they walking with God. They were separated from him. God says, "I want my creation to be back with me, to be able to walk with me. And I'm going to send my son, who's going to be a sacrifice, to pay for the wrong that was committed, all the world, and now I will have a right relationship with my children." And God has given us this task. That's a to-do list, for those of you that might not know. I love to-do lists. "Of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them." Whew. Wait a minute. Let me read that again. "No longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors." Not we should be, not we can be. The minute you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you are. You are an ambassador. You are representing him. God is making his appeal pretty much to mankind through you and I. We speak for Christ when we plead, "Come back to God." For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Do you know that when you and I are ambassadors of Christ, we aren't counting people's sins against them? That's hard. That's hard because whether we like it or not, in this world, there's degrees of sin. And if you're just a tale bearer, a backbiter, a liar, that's kind of okay. But if you're an adulterer, you're caught into sexual sin, maybe with the opposite sex, or as a pedophile, there's no hope for you. You're gone. Jesus could never forgive what you've done. That's not true. Thank you, Ron. That's wrong. We have to unlearn the behavior of gauging sins and putting ourselves in the judgment seat of Christ and determining who gets to hear the gospel and who doesn't, who's worthy of living a Christian life and who's not, who God's going to forgive 100% or just a portion of. Because I mind you, I haven't done very hard things, but what I did up until age 5 is pretty ugly. I'm going to be honest with you. And then along my way, I made some other mistakes that hurt people, that caused people to hurt inside. I'm not proud of those things. My mouth has not always been as controlled as it is right now. But it's still far from the mark of what Christ desires. I pray every day that my tongue would not be a two-edged sword, that my mouth would not hurt and cut people, and that I would see people the way Christ sees them. Do you know how hard that is? Because we are human. But this mind must be renewed in Christ every day. There's a reason he said every day and not just on Sunday. Because you can fall into the trap of the enemy every single day. Sometimes not once a day, not twice a day, not 3 times a day, but 770 times a day. Or he wouldn't have told us that we have to forgive that many times. When we represent Jesus, we are his ambassadors. Plead with others. Persuade them. Come to God. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Let me remind you. The way you say it is everything. Repent! The kingdom of God is at hand. And if you don't, you're going to go to hell.
You're a little too salty.
Or, Gerald, please repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. I don't want you to go to hell for your sin. Christ has come that you might be forgiven. Please accept this invitation that you're not caught when Christ comes back and you're left on this earth to your own devices. Come with me. Please come to this kingdom. Do you see the difference? Repent! Exclamation mark doesn't mean anger. Repent! Where did the church become so angry? Where did the church become so aggravated because everybody doesn't say yes to Jesus? Guys, everybody's not going to say yes to Jesus. What matters is that you and I give them a choice. We give them a choice with the behavior and the attitude that Christ is asking us to. It's not that we preach at them. It's that we preach to them. We're bringing Christ to them. And I think that somehow we have messed up in our mind that we are to get the entire world to be a Christian. And I don't know where this came from. I don't know if it came from America is a Christian nation. Maybe. Maybe because ideally it was founded on the goodness of God. But I don't know about that. I don't know how that whole Indian thing happened. I'm going to be real. I don't know that you just come in into another man's land and slice people up and take what isn't yours.
Anybody go through history class? Because I did. I'm just saying, I don't know how that was God. It wasn't. It wasn't. What it was is we've got these foundational truths that we want to build this land on. But you can't live like America is our home. It's not. When people don't agree with you, the Bible says, literally in Matthew 10, 14, it said that when you share the word of God with people, that you go into a house or you go into this space, and when they will not receive from you, will not receive from you, you simply dust off your feet. Didn't say be angry. Didn't say be frustrated. Didn't say tweet about it. Didn't say write about it on Facebook, how these people rejected Jesus and they're all going to hell. Maybe that's true. What it means is our job is done here. I have shared the gospel with you. I was obedient to do what God wanted me to do. Now it's not my job what happens after I've been obedient. Your job is done. Don't be frustrated. Don't be aggravated when they say that the Jesus that you have, they don't want. It's okay. Some will and some won't. But God's love and the way you serve it to them is important. Let's go to Luke 4:43. Jesus was a prime example of what he did. And this is what I'm going to tell you, and I'm almost closing. And I said almost because it is the last page, but I'm going to read it to you. It's fine. Luke 4:43, and I did not have that marked. Do I have it wrote? Yeah, I got it wrote out. Okay. It says, they tried to have Jesus stay longer in their city. And I need to read it to you because I didn't write it out. I thought I did. I'm sorry. 4:43. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. It says, but he replied. Now, this is the people that he was in this city were saying, please don't leave. Stay with us. Stay with us. Please tell us more. He said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because that's why I was sent. As a part of why Christ was sent to you and I, it was the good news. God had sent the Son of God on a mission and said, I need you to go down there and I need you to preach the kingdom of God to them that they can all hear and have a choice to accept whether they want to be a part of my kingdom or whether they don't. He was an ambassador to show who God was to you and I. This is why he took on human form. You and I are to preach the same message that Jesus preached. Here's the deal. When you and I are ambassadors and we preach this word, it didn't stop when Jesus left us. Jesus' commission was here, but he thought that we would fulfill after he was gone. If no one shares the message in the right attitude, then they won't all hear. And they'll be turned off of Christ. And the church, the Christians, will have lost its savor. I'm going to be honest with you. I've apologized for Christians before. It's terrible what happens in the name of Christianity. The good news of the kingdom Jesus preached. And if you want to go back, you can look in the same chapter in the fourth verse. It says in the 16th verse, you can go back and it says that Jesus preached in the synagogue. And it said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor, to preach to the brokenhearted. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is what it would sound like today. If you're here today and you're lacking anything, I have good news for you. If your health is failing, if you lack spiritual understanding, if you're sick in your body and your health is failing, maybe your self-worth has lost its place, or you're lacking provision, finances for your family. Maybe you lack emotional stability. I have good news. Jesus has come to save you. There's hope. If life has left you brokenhearted, maybe you've been crushed by grief and loss, and you really don't know how to pick your feet up and put them on the ground to breathe another day, because what you knew is no longer the way it was. And you just need to know that the pieces can be put back together. Good news. He came to heal the brokenhearted and those broken places. If you're bound by lust, sexual sin, maybe impure thinking, or you're being coveted, your coveting your neighbor's wife, and you've been caught in idolatry, or maybe you're struggling with your gender and your identity. Good news. Jesus came to release the prisoners from the chains that bound them and set them free. Maybe you're blind, literally, and you can't see. Good news. God came to heal your eyes and to heal your body. See, there's nothing that you have done which is so big, maybe you sit in it so long, that it's so astronomical to even what the world's standards of right and wrong are, that could remove you from the love of God. He loves you. And if you'll simply accept his love and his forgiveness, you are forgiven. He says, simply just believe in who I am. Believe that I died and that I rose again for you. And confess me as Lord of your life. In other words, I am now in the kingdom of God as a child of the Almighty King. And you will be saved. That's the message of hope that Jesus proclaimed. Church, is it possible that our delivery has become a bit brash? Is it possible that we're so busy trying to maybe get ahead, or to get a bigger house, or to build a better dream, the American dream, that we have become to be conformed to the world's pattern, and that when the world doesn't get what they want, they get angry? When the world says you're not responding the way I want you to, that they're displeased and they rant and they rave about it and they try to get as many people on their side as they can. I don't want to be that person. I want to be the attitude of Christ as I am the ambassador of him. Do you realize every one of you, chances are, you have bought a name brand in your life. You are God's name brand. There's a reason I buy a name brand I like. I am a jean crazy girl. Jeans to me are better than sweatpants. I don't know why, it's just who I am. I like jeans, but there's a certain brand. There's a certain style. There's a certain fix. You know that there's shading on your thigh right here, or there's shading on your calf. Did you know that? Some of the bigger girls, we want this on our thighs because it makes us look thinner. I know, sounds crazy, right? There's a whole system to it. Some of you, I'm thinking of a gentleman in our church that probably has, I don't know, 150 pairs of shoes. That's what I got, like this. He's a brand guy. He knows what he likes. Let me just say this. Why? Because there's a quality. There's a look. There's a feel. But there's also an expectancy. That when I buy that brand, whether expensive or cheap, doesn't matter. What do you like? When I buy it, I get what I pay for. Christ purchased you with a price. And he put his name on your body. And every action, every word, every response says Jesus, whether you like it or not. You are his name bearer. And you are his image because you're made like him. So I know that you can behave like Christ behaved. And let me remind you that someone's going to say, well, Jesus got angry and tipped the tables. Yeah, you're right. For Christian people doing the wrong thing. Not once did he look at the world and tip the tables and say, I'm ticked off with you. He said, let he who was without the first stone, let him cast it. Let him kill you as the woman's brought to him in adultery. I got a problem with that. Where was the man? Yeah, Randy made me think of that. I'm like, yeah, I always wondered where he was. Do you understand my... He probably could run faster. That was it. He is the stronger sex. Stand to your feet this morning. God, we want to be your ambassadors. And we want the right behavior in what we do. Maybe you're here today, and this message wasn't about you wearing a red sash of being an ambassador of Christ. But you realize that you need Christ. And that hope that I was talking about, and that struggle that you might be in, is you. And that you realized he is your hope. He is your salvation. Just let me say this up front. You're not in church by happenstance. You came today for a certain purpose. And God ordered this day years and years and years and years and years and centuries before the time he knew who would be here on this day and ordered what would be taught and what would be preached. What he can't determine is your choice today. But what he does know and what he has enlisted us to do with a task is to give you an altar call and to ask that if there's anyone under the sound of my voice today that would like to believe in Jesus and confess that he's Lord of your life today, he will welcome you into his kingdom. A kingdom that's forever, that lasts generations, through all of eternity. We're not guaranteed a happy life here. In fact, we're guaranteed trial and tribulation and some hardships along the way. But what we are guaranteed is that he said he would never leave us nor forsake us, and that he'll always be with us. I would hope that if you find yourself in the place today that you would want to welcome yourself to come to the table, if it were, of Christ today, that we as a church will be here to walk with you as well. I was telling Sierra that, our girl that got baptized. I said, you don't have to walk this alone. Your church is with you. And we're going to help you walk. And we're going to love you. And when you fall down, we're going to do our best to pick you up and give you the tools that you need in order to deal with this life. It can be hard sometimes. All of us go through hard things. I'd just rather go through the hard things with fellow believers and with God. That's all that makes us different. And the fact that I want to be pleasing to God by living a life that's as sin-free as I can possibly be. And there's days that it's harder than others. Days I might fail. But I quickly repent and turn from that way. And I give it to Christ and I say, now, Holy Spirit, help me become like you. And somehow, I don't know how, it just happens. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a miracle. That's what it is. So if you're here today and you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, then I'm going to ask you to take a bold step. And I'm going to ask you to step out and come down and say, Pastor Nicole, I want to believe in Jesus. I want to accept this Savior. I want Jesus to be my King. Is there anyone here in the house today that would say, I want Jesus? Anyone? Who would be bold enough to take the first step? Is there anyone in the house today? All right, we've done our task, we've asked, and we've given the choice. And we're not upset that no one came forward. we're actually happy that everyone in the house has said yes to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now, we have another baby dedication today as a wonderful part of our service. Listen, why do we do so many baptisms and baby dedications? Because the church is growing, that's why.
Of course it is, yes.
New people being saved, new people being baptized, babies being born. That's instant membership, people. Let me tell you something. Go ahead, have more babies. We just got to grow them up.
Yes. Okay, Rodney, come on down. Tisha, come on down.
Hallelujah. Yes. No, you're not on.
I'm not on?
Red doesn't mean on. There you go.
Hey, I'm on now.
Woo, you got it.
Am I on now?
Hi, babies.
All right. Well, family, this is Rodney. This is Tisha. And they're obviously part of the family. They themselves, wow, have an amazing testimony.
Love you, baby girl.
Rodney, you died how many times? A couple times. You had to get Narcan a few times, right? And but he's here. And of course, Tisha, Lord Jesus, you've been free, right, from hard drugs for how many years?
Going on seven.
7 years, man. Hallelujah.
Woo!
Amen. And, you know, I told them today, we've been walking with these guys now for over a year, I think, now, you know, and helping them and seeing them and God's moving. And I told them, you know, I hate to tell you guys, but if I were you, I'd have thrown in the towel already.
They
haven't.
No.
They haven't done it. And I'm telling you what, they are trying super hard. And they love Jesus, and we are here today. And they said, you know what, it's time we dedicate our kids to the Lord. And of course, this is our newest one. This is Brenna, right? This is Brenna. She's the newest one to the family. Oh, man, she's so cute. And you want to say something, Miley? What do you want to say?
You love your mom and dad.
Well, you love your mom and dad. Amen. That's right. Oh, you want to say something, too?
Today I clean up every day.
You clean up every day? You want to say something too?
I like that.
No, she wants to say it. Okay. Well, we're going to pray for this family and these kids and dedicate them to the Lord. Nicole, you want to start this off? Here, let me hold her.
I just think that...
You're going to hold her. Okay.
She's my baby.
She's yours. Okay, fine.
She's a good baby. Jeez. I just think that it's important that we as a church understand the commitment that this family makes.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And I think that it's not just a family that commits. You know, the church of the world is being targeted in our marriages and our families. We're being told that women are not women and men are not men. Hmm. What is that? That's an attack on our marriages and our family unit. God designed a family unit. He knit us together. He told us what we're supposed to look like. And what these parents are doing is saying that we're accepting the responsibility to raise our families the way God identified we should raise them.
Right.
And church, this is something that we should champion. This isn't something that when we think they're not doing it right that we criticize,
right,
or we rise up against, but we come up alongside of them.
Sure.
And say, let me help.
Yeah.
Let me take the baby. Let me help for a day.
Yeah.
We're here to help you. And we love you. And we're proud of you that you've continued in a really hard trial.
Yeah.
And you've said that in spite of it all, I'm going to raise my children for Jesus. No matter how hard it looks, no matter what side of tracks I'm from, I'm raising them in the admonition of the Lord.
Yes.
And let me tell you something. God's going to get you through.
Oh, yes.
And we're here with you.
Yep. And when others have tried to throw you guys away, we never do that.
Amen.
Ever.
Because
God loves you just as much as he loves anybody else in this house. Amen. All right.
Amen.
So, baby, you started out for us.
Father, we just pray right now. Blessing of protection.
Hallelujah.
Father, we pray a protection on each and every one of these children right now in the name of Jesus. God, that none of them would be taken before the timing, Father, that their life is up. Father, we thank you that there would be no accidents, no car things, no one's taken. And we bind the enemy from having a plan for their lives. We thwart your plan and we say, God, you are the one that we trust our children to.
Yes.
Father, we thank you that they would have an experience with you at an early age. Each and every one of these kids will know you at a greater level.
Yes.
God, they will say yes to Jesus at an early age.
Hallelujah.
And they will follow you all of their days, no matter what comes, no matter what school. I rebuke boyfriends, relationships off of these girls that are ungodly.
Yes.
They will wait for the right man.
Thank you,
and they
Jesus.
Will be raising their children for the Lord as well in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Father, we thank you.
Father, I thank you for Rodney and Tisha. God, I thank you for wisdom. Give them great wisdom, Lord God, and knowledge and understanding and strength, Lord Jesus, and patience, Father, as they raise these children in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. God, I thank you for supernatural wisdom and strength, Lord God, to stand, Father, and to continue to go when they want to give up. God, I plead the blood of Christ over this family. And God, I thank you for favor. Favor everywhere they go. Everywhere they put their feet, God. Open doors that only you can open. And close the doors, God, that you close. In the name of Jesus. We thank you for this, God. We thank you for your light on these, on this family, Lord God. And I thank you for what you're doing, what you have done, and what you're going to do for them. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, God. And we say they're yours. And we give you praise. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Woo. Praise the Lord. Now, baby, you want to bless these guys out of here?
I do. I want to remind you that as a church, we have a prayer team that we've entrusted, that we believe, that we trust in, that are anointed men and women of God that will pray with you. And on days like today, where the part of the service doesn't have that element of that supernatural touch of prayer, we want to pray with you. Please, if you are sick in your body, emotionally, physically, or even spiritually, you come down and we want to pray with you this morning. And church, we love you and we will see you on Wednesday night. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you would keep and bless these people, Father, as they go. Father, I thank you that they would wear your sash of ambassadorship this week well. God, that they would behave. God, that Holy Spirit, you would convict us when our actions are not pleasing to you. Father, but when we respond like you, Father, that we know you would be well pleased with us. Father, bring people in our paths that we can share the gospel with. Father, that truly they could be given the choice to receive you or not. Father, we're going to be obedient and we're going to leave their decision of whether they are up to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Church, I love you. Greet your brothers and sisters.